Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. His program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, I'm so glad to be with you once again, and I was just thinking about the fact that we celebrated Thanksgiving here in the United States, and I just think about myself that I've been so thankful to the Lord, and I just thank the Lord for giving me eternal life, and it's a free gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, you have to recognize that you're a sinner, and you don't deserve heaven because everybody that gets there, we don't like the term, but they get there on welfare because we can never deserve God. We're never good enough to ever manufacture and ever go to heaven. But thank God for God's wonderful, great love for us. And Jesus came and on the cross, why he died for our sins. And, you know, he was beaten for us. They beat him in the face until you couldn't even recognize him. They beat him in the back until his back was open and bloody. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They put nails in his feet, nails in his hands, and hung him on a tree. And you can go over and see that place. It's behind the bus station, the Damascus bus station there that goes to Damascus. And outside there's a Muslim cemetery. There's a gate around it and so on. But you can go there, and that on there, it's the place of the skull, and you can still see the skull on the side of the hill. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and he died for our sins. And when the Bible teaches that a body hast thou made me, God Almighty made himself a human body, entered into that body, and he was punished in our place. Sin's a horrible thing, and there's a great judgment on man. And God keeps records of every thought, word, and deed, and that puts us in a bad shape. But thank God, Jesus, God's love says, I'll pay. So he came to pay and was punished in our place. And some religions teach that the angels beat you when you die, but Jesus was God, and he took the beating for us. And so it says he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace is upon him. And so we thank God, first of all, that God offers us a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and that eternal life begins right now. And you get an experience of that. God said, we cannot even imagine how wonderful heaven will be, but God has showed it unto us. And you know, when you're right with the Lord and you're walking with him, you get a taste of heaven already. And because God talks to you in the Bible. And I have just found this in my experience that I can open that book and God is speaking to me there and can lift my spirits up and put peace in my heart, joy in my soul, and build me up and keep me going. And even it says by talking to him through the Word of God, we even get health in our flesh. And so he's kept me for many years. And just when I look back at my life, I just think blessing after blessing after blessing. Didn't mean I didn't have trouble, but every trouble he brought me out of and blessed me. And it's just incredible. When I look back at my life, one thing after another of a blessing. And you know, when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and Lord means you accept him, Lord means he's your God. And that means that you're willing to obey him. The problem is people have they have their own God on their throat. They make themselves a God, and that messes them up. But when they take Jesus as their God and their Savior, they have eternal life. And Thomas said to Jesus after he rose from the dead, he says, my Lord and my God. And it's not somebody else can't save you. You don't become a Christian because your parents are a Christian or you go to a church, you're a member of a church. But when you, like Thomas, say to Jesus, my Lord and my God, and God be merciful to me, a sinner, for Jesus' sake, you have eternal life instantly, forever and ever. And eternal life is a wonderful thing. And I tell you, I'm a satisfied customer. I mean, I am really, thank God. And it just, The blessings just never cease for me in my life. And one problem ends up in a blessing every time. And I've talked about that before. But, you know, one of the greatest blessings we have is the Word of God. And we're opposed in this program to deism. And what much of evangelicalism has turned to deism. You know what that is? That is, they say God gave us a perfect Bible. Then I guess they believe he went to sleep or he tuckered out or he had a dissipation of energy or something and left the Bible alone to man. Well, he certainly didn't. He said he would preserve his words, and it's found at least three gospels say this. And it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You know, that is, it'd be easier for the sun to burn out and the stars to disintegrate than his words would pass away. And the Bible says now that we can look at the perfect word of God. The Bible says the word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And it says, thy word is true from the beginning. And they had this conference on the Bible we've talked about many times in Chicago, and they talked about the perfection of the originals. Well, the scripture never appeals to originals. Of course, the originals were perfect, but that doesn't do us any good. And people say that. They don't even... We've said this so many times, and we want to get this across, that they don't, if you ask them, do you have the originals? And, of course, they have to say, no, we don't have the originals. They talk about it all the time. Do you know what the originals say? No, they don't know what the originals say. Well, we have the Word of God today in the King James Bible. How do we know it? Because any Bible, even the counterfeit Bibles, will point to the King James like a laser beam. God says, I've honored my word above all my name. You know, they honor Shakespeare, but the King James is more honored than any book that ever came out in the history of the world. And I heard somebody say, well, there's millions of copies. No, there's 5 billion copies out there. And there are so many people attack it, but it's still generation after generation goes on. It just keeps on going. Why? Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit would guide them, the apostles, into all truth. Then it says he would abide with them forever. And the Holy Spirit leads in the hearts of Christians that read the Bible and come to God in prayer and humility to the King James Bible over and over again. When they say some other translation is selling, they're just talking about the company that puts those translations out. But you just give them a few years, and when the advertising ceases, they'll go out of print, and the King James will just go marching right on, because the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. And it abideth. It's something we have. It's something we can look at, and it's absolutely true. I heard somebody was just telling me, these guys, you know, they come on the radio, I guess, this morning and say, well, this is an unfortunate translation, and a better reading is, and so on. And brother, I have Brother Davis here with us, and he's my co-host, you know, and I think I'd like to discuss why they do that, you know. I have reasons why I think they do that. I'll say for reason number one, if the King James is the authority, and it certainly is, because Christians that read the Bible every day read that more than all the rest of them put together, then that makes them the authority, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, Bruce. And, you know, when you make yourself the authority, you can kind of do what you want to do, can't you?
You sure can.
You don't have to be answerable to somebody else.
Would you say that's sort of egotism?
Oh, absolutely. And remember what the devil's temptation was to Eve. Remember, ye can be as gods. And I think a lot of times, especially what happens is the devil is kind of fanning that same desire in the hearts of people that they can be like God, determining what God's word actually is. In fact, they can let their word overrule God's word, just like Eve allowed her remembrance. Well, God said, don't eat it or even touch it. So she let her remembrance of God's word overrule God's actual words, didn't she?
She sure did. You know, it gets me that this, one of the first things you read in the Bible is she puts out her own revision of the scripture. And God says, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, So she takes out the word freely. And believe it or not, in Book of Romans, there's a place where the modern versions take out the word freely, you know. And then God says, you may eat of every tree of the freely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you may not eat thereof. And then she adds, neither shall ye touch it. Mm-hmm. She adds it. So she adds to it. And God says, you will surely die. So not only she takes out, she adds, and then she changes the word where God says, you shall surely die unto lest you die. So she mm-hmm. makes it, puts it open. That's what they all do. They take mm-hmm. out words, they add words, and they change words by the thousands in every one of these modern versions.
And then the devil followed suit after he got her going away from what God actually said to saying, you shall not surely die. You know, he told her, and then, you know, basically, again, that desire, just like what happened with him. Remember, that was his whole problem. He wanted to be like God. And so he fans that flame, I think, in the heart of men and women. And unfortunately, even Christians can fall prey to that.
I think a lot of preachers do. And, you know, I've heard him say, I've heard him get up there with the King James Bible, and they'll say, every word of this Bible is true. And they correct it. No, it's the Word of God. They'll say it's the Word of God, and they correct it. Mm. If they call it the Word of God and they correct it, what are they doing? They're correcting God, aren't they?
Yeah.
They just said it was, they've been.
They're taking the place of God.
Yeah. Because I've heard preachers that correct the Word of God over and over again, and they'll call it the Word of God, and then they correct it. They're smarter than God. Isn't that something, you know? They think they are anyway.
Yeah.
I tell you, when I hear this, I think it's an abomination, you know? And you know what the Bible says? It says, cursed is everyone that putteth confidence in man. You know, when you listen to somebody say that, that makes not the Word of God the authority, but it makes him the authority. The Bible says, you know, the Bible says, in thy word do I trust. It doesn't say in my preacher, my Bible teacher, my radio commentator, my TV preacher, do I trust? Because if you believe what he says when he corrects the Bible, then you're trusting in him instead of the Word of God. I mean, it is so obvious. And what they're doing is those rascals are pulling out the rug from underneath the Christian. And we have shown here the evidence for the scripture verses here. That's our whole program. We've been doing this for years. And we have the books that show it. We have Which Version is God's Word by Floyd Nolan Jones. And that's one of them. He gives the documented evidence for the underlying text. And, you know, they lie so much because they say the Greek text, or they'll say the Greek. Somebody says that is either lying or very ignorant, because there's many Greek texts. And every version that comes out has a different Greek text. And we say, you know, we have quite a menagerie of people that put these Greek texts out. For instance, for the New American Standard Version, you know, they like calling this Authorized Bible 1611. They call it the King James, you know. So we ought to call the New American Standard Version. We could call it the Maria Carlos Martini Version, Archbishop Carlos Martini Version, because he put the Greek text out for that New American Standard Version. And then, you know, when they say the Greek, and, you know, they never give any evidence. They don't even attempt to give evidence, you know, because there's a different Greek text out there. And then they got these lexicons that are put out, and they're using corrupt lexicons. You know, somebody I hear on television, and I don't like, you know, attacking individual preachers, and I don't do it very often, once in a while, but I mean, some guy's on there and he's correcting, he gets on a binge of correcting the King James, and he promotes it, and he uses it and he promotes it, and he's been on record as calling it the Word of God, but then he goes on an ego trip every once in a while. This is an unfortunate translation. A better reading is, and he's getting, I know, from Kenneth Wiest, because he brags on Kenneth Wiest. And Kenneth Wiest got his material from corrupt lexicons. That's what it is. I mean, many of the, they write these lexicon, Greek English dictionaries, Hebrew English dictionaries, And some of these guys deliberately change the words, deliberately change the meaning of words in there to fit their own theology, and they're on record as saying that, see? But on the other hand, God tells us, he says, the word of God is quick and powerful. Well, every revival that takes place through the King James Bible, including the latest hippie revival in California, when all those hippies got saved under Chuck Smith. I never heard him correct the King James. Maybe he did. I never heard it, and I've heard him many times. And he used that. You know, you can have Bible teachers, but almost if we would go down through the ages of people that were God used effectively as evangelists, like Billy Sunday or D.L. Moody, they were King James believers. And they're on record as saying that. I mean, Billy Sunday says if scholarship goes against the Bible, and the Bible to him was the King James Bible, he says scholarship go plumb to the devil. Well, it comes from the devil when they correct it. That's what I believe. There's Talmage. God blessed him. He had Brooklyn Tabernacle. Preachers use his messages a lot. Quite an orator. His message, he would preach on Sunday, and next day his message was quoted in 600 newspapers. You know what he said about the King James? He says it's a perfect translation. That's what I believe. That's what we're saying here. Has God gone to bed and slept and left it over to a bunch of egomaniacs in some Bible school or seminary somewhere that don't know what they're talking about? I mean, you say, well, you're nasty. You know, if it's a matter of understanding a scripture verse, I'll try to be nice, and I believe in being as nice as I can. But boy, when they're pulling out that rug from under the average Christian when they don't even know what they're talking about, and they don't know what they're talking about. If you think you do, I'd like them to come on here and I'll debate them anywhere. I'll debate them in front of their class, and I have done it already in front of, I debated a Greek professor at Taylor University and sponsored by the school there. But I would debate anywhere, anytime over this, and I'll use the scripture verses because I tell you, these rascals, they don't written. And you know, the problem is that when they were in class, maybe they were 19 years old or something, they were told a pack of lies, but at the same time, they were told how smart they were. They were subtly told how smart they were, and so they're proud about it. Then some of them got it on the radio or television, got a big church or something like that, and they don't want to admit it now. And so their feet are stuck in cement, and they refuse to read anything on the other side of the issue. And today, book after book has come out that is well documented. Which Bible would Jesus use? By Jack McElroy. I mean, that's a masterpiece. And every one of you should have that. You should give it to preachers, and churches should give that book out, and many other books. The books by Gail Riplinger, Hazardous Materials, that tells who did it. And there's many books out like this that document what we're saying today. But these rascals are in a position of power and authority, and they just keep on demanding. What's the difference between somebody that is an infidel correcting the Bible that you have and some professor that claims to believe in the originals? Where did Jesus and the apostles ever appeal to originals? Do you know that verse, 1 Timothy 3:15? From a child thou hast known the scriptures. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And some schools teach that's referring to the originals. No, it's not. Timothy, it's referring to scripture Timothy had, and those scriptures were written thousands of years before that. So, we're going to read some more scripture verses dealing with this subject. And let's start off Deuteronomy chapters 27, 26. Give you a chance to look that up and see what God says about people that mess with the Word of God.
All right. You said Deuteronomy chapter 27?
Yeah.
And which verse?
26.
The Bible says in Deuteronomy 27, verse 26, Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, Amen.
I want you to notice he says, cursed be all they that confirmeth not all the words of the book of this law to do them. Now, God always emphasizes words, not message, but words. And you see this all through the Bible. That's why the words are so important. And the scripture makes such a point of it. Okay, we get to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 through 22.
All right, Deuteronomy chapter 18, starting in verse 15. The Bible says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, and thy brethren like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken.
Can we stop there for a minute? Mm-hmm. Now, he's going to raise up a prophet like Moses. Now, Moses was the leader of the people. Moses came out of Egypt. Jesus came out of Egypt. Moses came from the Jewish people. Jesus came from the Jewish people. Moses led them out of bondage in Egypt, and Jesus will lead you out of spiritual darkness and bondage to any sin that you have, and he will have the very words of God, okay?
All right, continue. Verse 16, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto me, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him.
You can keep on going there.
All right, continue on verse 19 here. It says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him.
Okay, in a few minutes we have left, look at some of the false prophets that came and have been proven wrong, you know, and every last one of them, some of them never even, they call themselves a prophet, never predicted the future. And the Bible, the prophets of God always predicted the future. They predicted something that would happen in their day. It came to pass. Then they prophesied about Jesus because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so and we see this all through the Bible. For instance, in Daniel chapter 9, it talks about weeks. And those weeks were weeks that come out to 483 years. And basically, they're in sevens, and so those sevens come out to 400 years. So it said 483 years from the order to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 483 years. And Jesus walked into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, 483 years to the day that Daniel had predicted. That's a prophecy. We had Micah 5:2, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be the least among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he go forth who shall rule my people Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but he didn't begin there. He always was. He was God himself. We have the prophecy of Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. God came to the world as a child. God gave his son, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so we have that prophecy, Isaiah 53, 6, where it says, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And Isaiah 7, 14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. And so the Bible is full of hundreds of detailed prophecies about Christ, prophecies that took place in their day, but then prophecies that took place in the future. This Bible is a book of prophecy, and it prophesies our future. It says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. My future is that if I die, I'll be in heaven because it's prophesied that I would. Jesus said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.